Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Terrence Blanchard.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Jill Pasternak.
Hey, how are you, Jill?
Fine, thank you. I hope you're well. I'm delighted to finally speak with you. This is a spectacular new album, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about it.
Thank you.
Did I not understand correctly that the decision to do this was inspired by the Spike Lee documentary?
Yes. What happened was when we were doing the documentary, unbeknownst to me, the guys in the band were writing their own tunes and arrangements based on their impressions and need to speak out about what happened here in New Orleans in the aftermath of the hurricane. And when we finished the documentary, I just couldn't leave it at that. So my wife actually, you know, came up with the idea. She said, why don't you expand on those themes? Because I had been trying to write my own music, and I'm too close to this whole topic, you know, to totally be objective.
Well, you answered what I was going to ask you, but how do you translate these intense emotions? They're so overwhelming, you know.
Well, it was natural in terms of playing the tunes, but in terms of creating the melodies, you know, it was a bit rough. Thankfully, I had the documentary to work on, because what I tried to do with the music there was just to write music that was more universal, music that would speak to a broader audience, because to me, the story of what happened here is a universal story. If it happened here, it could happen anywhere. And I knew that in the documentary, Spike had covered the flavor of New Orleans with some live performances and pre-recorded material.
That's, again, something that I had spoken with someone about. Actually, I think it was Branford Marsalis, about the New Orleans musician. Mm-hmm. Could you more describe the uniqueness of the New Orleans musician? I mean, you're not talking about this in this work, but somehow there is a unique quality to the attitude of the New Orleans musician and the way they regard their, where they fit into the culture of the city.
Well, it all goes back to Henry Red Allen and Louis Armstrong. I mean, those guys were the guys who had kind of set the table, so to speak. And even today, when you listen to some of these brass bands comprised of very young, talented musicians here, you can hear hints of those guys and what they're doing. Couple that with this rich culture of all of these different types of cultures here in New Orleans. New Orleans is, to me, the ultimate melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
It is comprised of so many different types of people, and all of those people have come together to create this, so to speak, of a unique culture here in the city. And it's hard to describe, you know. It's one that you have to experience. You know, I tell my friends all the time who don't live here, I said, be careful when you come to New Orleans to visit, because you may stay.
Yes, well, I remember we visited down there before, of course, the disaster. But it is so unique, and it is there is something that's indescribable and heartwarming about the, as I said, the role of the musician, the New Orleans musician. There's a love that exudes when they play. I don't know. There's just something beyond.
Well, Jill, what you're talking about is the very thing that brought me back to New Orleans. You see, when I grew up here in New Orleans, all of the musicians that I ran into didn't talk about making money. They didn't talk about stardom. Mm-hmm. They all talked about the love and passion that they had for playing music. So that was the thing that was instilled in me as a kid, you know. And even when I would come back here to visit, even after I moved away and lived in New York, I still felt that from all of the guys here, you know. And it was something that drew me back to the city, You know, and I'm very happy to be a part of this culture and to be a part of the city.
It's heartwarming because one gets rather callous in the commercial world of music, and you're looking for other things, and then you go back to this, the essence of really what it's all about in an ideal world, of course, in a utopian world.
Let me tell you this quick story. I have a friend of mine who's a film editor in Los Angeles, and she's done a lot of major films in the industry, and she's here in New Orleans, and she's going to be here for 8 weeks. She's here working on a project, and she's only been here for maybe a week and a half. We took my wife and myself, we took her out to dinner a couple of times. We took her to a couple of fundraisers that we were attending, and we went to another dinner, and we were sitting on the sidewalk eating, having a great meal, just hanging out with some friends, and she looked at me and she goes, "Now I see why you never moved to L.A.
Oh, yes. The sublime to the ridiculous, I think. Yeah. Now, what I loved, it's really a classical work. I mean, this is really a large, extended work, utilizing a full orchestra, and, of course, the jazz idiom is throughout. But what I loved were your ghosts. I just thought they were amazing.
Thank you. Well, you know, one of the things about being a jazz musician, or an artist in general, you know, I was always taught that you have to let the music and let the creators speak to you and not try to control them. And when we were in the studio doing this project, one of the things that kept ringing in my ear was the fact that we had been missed by hurricanes for years. I mean, we had a few direct hits, but for the most part, it has been missed, you know, and it reminded me of, you know, the tales of Marie Laveau and all of those spirit tales and the voodoo tales here in New Orleans. And I kept thinking about ghosts, and I kept thinking about how ghosts and those spirits have been trying to give us fair warning. So that was the whole idea behind all three of those ghosts and how they came to be.
I think the tragedy is the tragedy, of course, of the devastation, but the tragedy is also the time that has passed with so little being done. And I think that your work brings home the intensity of what's going on there and still going on.
Well, you know what the tragedy for me is? The tragedy for me is the reality of having hope and having faith in a government that is supposed to take care of you, only to realize that you're left on your own in times like these. To me, that's the real tragedy, because when I speak to a lot of people, the one thing that we all talk about and one thing everybody talks about is the fact that, you know, we were really let down.
Yes.
And left to our own devices. And that's an eye-opening experience for all of us. You know, it's made us stronger, but at the same time, it's one thing that hurts deeply and gives you this sense of helplessness and hopelessness at times.
How are things there now? I mean, do we get a sequel to this Katrina story, the Requiem?
Well, I mean, you know, there's good and bad in every story, and there's good and bad in this one as well. I mean, the good is that the people who are here are doing the best that they can to rebuild the city. You know, I mean, I see people doing a lot of work on their own with not much assistance, but they are doing it just out of their sheer passion for rebuilding their communities. So that's a great thing to see. There's a lot of work yet to be done. The bad thing is that it's happening at a snail's pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of work still that, you know, we don't see around the city. I mean, we keep hearing these numbers thrown about how much money we've received here in the city, but we don't see the effects of it. And that's the thing that's kind of disheartening. It's a rough time, you know, for us. There's been a lot of political corruption uncovered. There's been a lot of crime and all of that. And in the midst of all of that, people still want to come home. So it's a mixed bag of tricks for all of us. I look at my mom's neighborhood, and the thing that's beautiful about my mom's neighborhood is the fact that people who are middle class, who don't have much money, they're out there with hammer and nail, man, and they're rebuilding their homes.
Well, it's home. I mean, there is no place like home.
Mm-hmm.
This, how would you then, musically, where do you put this? I mean, this is a commentary. It's a larger, long work, there's this marvelous jazz that is permeating the music throughout.
Well, this CD to me is an effort to speak the words that can't be spoken, you know, to express the emotions that can't be put in the words. You know, I kept telling the guys when we were doing this, you know, I said, you know, I need to do another take because, you know, the trumpet sounds angry.
Well, I was going to say, but that's great. I mean, you have to be angry, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, angry and hurt. That's the thing I have to keep going back to. When I listen to some of the comments that my mom made when she found out what had really happened, you know, it's a hurtful thing to go through. It's a hurtful thing to think that there are people who are supposed to help us and take care of us, or at least assist us at least. That I don't know. I don't want to say that they had a cavalier attitude towards us, but their actions displayed something that was disingenuous and hard thing to face sometimes.
Well, I think also, I don't want to take away from the disaster of New Orleans, but the tale is also a tale of disaster that happens and disappointment to mm-hmm. many people in many
exactly.
situations.
Exactly.
This can kind of cover a lot of ground in mm-hmm. the sense that it is an expression of just what you were saying, of hope and faith and then disappointment and then mm-hmm. perhaps rebuilding and God's will. I guess it is a tale of God's will.
Well, that's the thing. The reason why I call it a tale of God's will is because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the first reaction, let me back up. The first thing is that, you know, you want to blame man. You know, you want to say who's responsible, who didn't do their job, who was incompetent. You go through all of those things, and at the end of that, you still are left with an empty feeling. You know, at least I was. And for me, the thing that I had to fall back on was my upbringing. I grew up in a church, and I was taught that God acts in mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that I started to think, well, you know, there's something that we have to learn from this experience. There's something that we have to pick up from this experience. And I don't know exactly what that is. It may be different things to different people, you know, but when trying to put this entire CD together, I didn't want to focus too much on the negative. I wanted to focus on mm-hmm. the future and the rebuilding of not only New Orleans, but the entire Gulf.
I also think that one realizes at a time like this how minute man is mm-hmm. in relation to nature, because mm-hmm. we can't, you know, we've controlled everything we think,
mm-hmm.
even the moon and, of course, space. But on our own planet here, you know, they say don't mess with Mother Nature. And I think
right.
that's really, you know, we are who we are, and we're mm-hmm. lucky if we can get away with a lot. And I think that comes, there's a hopefulness as well in this work, and a beauty, definite musically of what you've written. And also the soul is there. It's there. It's a terribly moving and expressive piece of work, and one can take it on as one's own. And I want to tell you that I'm glad you wrote it.
Thank you very much. Those are very kind words.
And anything else, or are you recuperating from this great opus?
Well, I've had a couple of weeks off, and it's been great to be at home. But you know, you just said something that was very interesting to me when you talked about Mother Nature. You know, one of the things that we have to wake up to is the fact that we do have some responsibility to this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these studies that have come out about global warming to realize that we are responsible for global warming. The planet is going to change, but it changes at a minuscule rate. And this global warming has been happening at an accelerated rate. And it's a lot of it is due to what we're doing to the environment. So, I think with Katrina, you know, with Rita, all of these incidents, you know, we have to look at these things and say, well, what's going on in our communities, and really wake up to our own responsibilities for our environment.
Well, it's a wake-up call, and the trumpet is the perfect instrument to do that, isn't it?
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Terrence. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you for the support. I appreciate it.
And thank you so much again.